This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Saudi Aramco shares hit the public market and rally to their highest possible level. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Getting Saudi Arabia's state-owned oil company to the public market was a long road. It's been nearly 4 years since the idea was floated, and the listing process has been riddled with delays and pared-back expectations. But when shares began trading in Riyadh today, they quickly rallied 10%, the most they're allowed to in a single day, valuing the company at just under $2 trillion. The BBC's Samir Hashmi explains why this biggest ever IPO is so important for Saudi Arabia.
The Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman wants to use the proceeds of this IPO to fund his ambitious plan to diversify Saudi Arabia's economy because it heavily relies on oil. And what Mohammed bin Salman wants to do is invest that money into modernizing the economy.
Are there any specific projects or sectors that Mohammed bin Salman wants to invest this money into?
So they haven't specified a clear plan, but they have announced some huge projects. For example, they're building a new city on the border of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan. Now, this city will be a tourist destination and a business hub. That's how they've described it. And interestingly, there will be a different law to govern the city. For example, they will allow casinos here, which are strictly prohibited in Saudi Arabia.
Still, only 1.5% of the company's total value is available on the public market after this listing. That's a very small sliver compared to companies like Apple, which has close to 90% of its value listed. So could Aramco decide to list more of its shares at a later date? Are there plans for that?
Yes, there is scope for them to list, and they have said that at some stage they want to list on an international stock exchange like New York or London, but they haven't announced when. But there is speculation that that could happen in the next 1 year or so.
The BBC's Samir Hashmi, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. The British pound is slightly lower after a fresh poll showed Prime Minister Boris Johnson's lead has narrowed ahead of tomorrow's UK elections. Meanwhile, the metal palladium is trading at a record high of above $1,900 an ounce. That's after power cuts in South Africa forced mining companies to stop operations. And Inditex shares are up 1%. Zara's parent company reported a 12% annual jump in profit for the first 9 months of the year. For 6 days, strikes across France have crippled public transport, schools, hospitals, and postal services. Demonstrators are protesting against President Macron's planned pension reforms, which will be formally unveiled by the country's Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe, in just about an hour. From Paris, the BBC's Hugh Schofield reports.
So far, the government has been vague about much of the detail of its pension reform, which has allowed opponents to imagine the worst. Now, if the Prime Minister can strike the right tone and include certain concessions, it's possible some of the opposition could begin to come over. Appear too obdurate, though, and France could be in for more days of transport strikes and street protests in the run-up to Christmas. The core of the reform is transforming France's complex and multi-level pension system into a single regime in which everyone is treated equally. That the government will not back down on. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Hugh Schofield for Marketplace.
To the northwest corner of Africa now, where the country of Morocco hopes to become the gateway to the continent for foreign investors. The BBC's Matthew Davis went to find out whether it can succeed.
On the face of it, the Moroccan economy seems robust. It exports agricultural products and textiles. The carmaker Renault has a huge plant in the north, and the country has the only high-speed rail link in Africa. And the Moroccan government is busy promoting itself as a gateway for investment into Africa. Nabila Frigi is the vice president of CGEM, the Confederation of Businesses in Morocco.
It is at the crossroads of continents, cultures and civilizations. And it has made considerable efforts to attract foreign investment. One specific sector that experienced outstanding growth is automotive.
It certainly convinced the likes of Luxembourg, which announced it was opening a trade and investment office in Casablanca. The EU country's Deputy Prime Minister, Etienne Schneider, was on a visiting trade mission along with 50 companies.
They have something we are lacking in Europe, and that's well-trained, well-formed young people, and quite a lot of them. The logistics sector is quite an important sector in Luxembourg, and now we want to discuss about using the port of Tangier as our entry port to the northern African continent.
But step away from the tall glass buildings of downtown Casablanca, that's the financial and business center of Morocco, and it's a different story.
Since 2007, I have struggled to find work. The main reason is the structure of the job market. There are hardly any fixed-term contracts. There are short-term contracts, and you are not guaranteed to have a stable job. So since 2007, I have not had any stable work.
There is no companies for the young generations. I have been in the field since 2007.
Morocco, like many African countries, suffers from high unemployment that is especially prevalent in those under 25. But Morocco's never had an Arab Spring. The violent upheavals which brought chaos and civil war to the likes of Tunisia, Libya, Egypt and Syria. The key seems to be the pace of reforms promised by the king, delivered by his government. A pace that for many on the streets is far too slow. In Casablanca, I'm the BBC's Matthew Davis for Marketplace.
Finally, forget calorie counts on menus. UK food scientists say a better way to tackle obesity is for companies to explain how much exercise it would take to burn off the calories in their products. Thoughts on that one? Tweet me at Victoria Craig, and don't forget the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.